True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin, your host. True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane. Coins Plus can be reached at 444-0044 locally, toll-free 877-TAP-COIN, or through the website at coinsplus.com. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. Been in business for a couple decades helping people manage their finances and build portfolios and secure their wealth for the long haul. We sell biblical endorsed and authorized assets, precious metals-based assets. That is where it's at. That is where it's always been at. That's where it always will be at. At least we've got that figured out. We've got so many other things going on in the world around us right now. It's confusing. And I know, you know, there's a lot of things in the Bible that you're like, geez, I don't know what to do here, you know, or you'll have people maybe help you pray for something or whatever, because you're not sure how to make decisions. God's very clear about what real wealth is in the Bible, and we, or true wealth, as I call it. I know there's been people out there with radio shows called Smart Wealth, and other people try to go get truewealthradio.com, and I've had a whole bunch of this weird stuff going on around me here lately. But the bottom line is we've been here, we're the original, we're the true, we've been here a long time, and precious metals-based assets have to. God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And true wealth is true wealth. We have a certain amount of time on this earth, and you can do what you want with your money, you know. And I think basically the way to look at it is money's an absolute major, major part of our existence, as I've discussed. It's a huge piece of it's a huge component of our time on this earth. God set up a system that's mind-boggling. You know, when you really get to the ins and outs of it, the inner workings of it all, it's mind-boggling. And you know, he did what he did for a reason. I think it makes good sense that wealth or money is a part of that system. And the difference between, you know, whatever God creates, the devil creates the, or either tries to steal, kill, or destroy, right? That's what it says. The devil came to steal, to kill, and destroy. and that's what he does. So whatever God creates, which includes wealth, the devil wants to destroy. Each man is given a special set of talents, okay? You know, a unique set of talents. The parable of talents is very, very specific about that. And what's unique about it is the fact that each of us has our own driving force behind us, behind, you know, there's something that makes each one of us tick. There's things that we're good at. There's things that we're not good at. There's some people that seem to be good at everything and some that probably seem to be good at nothing. But we all have our own little specific list of talents, as you're aware. And envy or is a interesting part of our existence on this earth. Capitalism assumes that people, that nobody can know what you need or better than anyone else, and that no one can basically make decisions for your life better than you can. Socialism, on the other hand, believes that they can make, that somebody else can make better decisions for you than you can. And I think you all know the true answer to that. Envy is, you know, it's a word that I guess exists out in the world. Probably not so much of a word that the Bible, you know, it's not as popular a word or as comfortable a word for believers maybe as for non-believers. But it's, you know, the fact is the cheap but simple human emotion of envy is the driving force of all socialism, of all anti-capitalist philosophy. It's the mark of the, quote, intellectual. That is a quote from a guy named Andrew Galambos, who's a socialist, or who is speaking about socialism. Envy is an interesting emotion. Envy is the emotion of destruction. It's the emotion that causes us to tear each other down and tear each other apart. There's like jealousy, envy, covetousness. These are all things that are mentioned kind of in the Bible. Not kind of, they are mentioned. And, you know, in the Bible where it uses the word like thou shalt not covet, there's a difference between admiring and coveting. When it says thou shalt not covet your neighbor's house or his wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that belongs to the neighbor, the word covet basically means to desire in a unhealthy way. And what's interesting in socialism and capitalism and God and the Bible, obviously God gave each one of us a drive. He gave each one of us some level of motivation to accomplish certain things, to go certain directions, to, you know, to just to make it a certain distance in life on our own. And everyone's got a different drive. One thing that's really ironic is, and I've been around money a lot of years, and it's really ironic how many people make their money through scams. You know, they create the appearance of an investment and yet give you nothing, or give you nothing but terrible headaches and an impossibility of ever getting your money back. One of those is annuities. You know, just because you give somebody money and they give you a piece of paper that says that money exists doesn't mean you're in a safe spot. What we find with annuities, folks, we run up against this all the time. Variable annuities, whole life insurance, all this stuff. We run up against it all the time where people will get sucked in. There's a couple individuals in the area that seem to be prominent in the Christian circles. And, you know, they sell you these products and you get a statement that says you have this money. But then when you want that money out, it doesn't work that way. We just are dealing with a gal who put in about over $500,000 into one. And she realized, she thought she might have made a mistake. And when she went to get a quote on how much she'd get out, you know, the quote didn't sound too bad. She knew she'd take a little hit. And he quoted her maybe 5-6% less than she'd put in. So then she said, oh, that's not so bad. And I knew it wasn't going to work out like that. And so then she finally decides to just take it out and roll it into metals, I think. And when she pulls it out, well, when she finally goes to pull it out, it wasn't 5 or 6%. Her $538,000 was $403,000, and it had only been 1 year. And this is the problem with annuities and variable annuities, is your money is gone. Huge commissions get paid out all over the place. They are not a conservative or safe investment. Please do not fool yourselves and think they are. It is very sad that that industry is not properly regulated. It is not regulated by the SEC. I just spoke on Saturday to a very successful real estate developer in the area who had gotten sucked in to a portion of his money in annuities years back, and I think it was the same person actually selling them. I know it was, but had a very bad bad experience with that, and it was basically the same thing as the income. It just wasn't there. He couldn't get his money back out. And so, folks, just be aware. Please don't do that to yourself. And you don't go, you know, I have people call me and say, what about buying, you know, life insurance policies or on other people and all this stuff? And it's like, that stuff doesn't make any sense. You've got a certain amount of wealth given to you by God for whatever reason. Why, you know, when you have to get into these crazy investment vehicles, you know, where you're buying into life insurance policies of people who are dying. And does that sound like something Jesus would do if he was here on earth? And I mean, those, it's all messy. It's full of massive commissions. Folks, the bottom line is there is a simplistic, just because something is accepted by man, okay, doesn't make it right or smart or anything. When the market collapsed back in 09 or whenever it was, 08, 09, the huge crash, the big thing that all the brokers were telling everybody to make them feel better is they would say, oh, well, you know, at least you're not alone. Everybody's in this together. We're all, basically, we're all miserable together. We're all losing our money together. So that's supposed to help you feel just a little bit better about your loss, but it doesn't. You know, when there's financial wisdom out there, I mean, we had people back in 99 when we were rolling into the millennium, and we had, you know, when everybody was saying, oh, you know, computers aren't set up for the new digits for 2000, and, you know, a lot of the computer programs were just set up to run through the 1900s, and they were predicting this big meltdown, and, you know, the Y2K scare, I guess we'll call it. Well, you know, for better or worse, we had a lot of people come in that wanted to put huge amounts of money into the metals because they were afraid of the Y2K scare. Well, I don't know if I did the right thing or the wrong thing. I talked a ton of people out of it because I said, the world's not going to melt down because of a digit crisis in computers. Well, most of those people did is just went somewhere else and bought from somebody who would sell to them. Secondly, had I just sold them the metals when they wanted them, they, you know, over the next 10 years, over the next decade, you know, the metals went up by 1,000%. So I probably should have just, you know, sold them what God told them they should have. I've since gained a deeper and deeper understanding of money, I believe, and God's word and finances and precious metals. And I really believe I'm more confident and comfortable in what I do. We've learned a lot over the years about, you know, what it makes a good investment, what makes a bad investment. I've been Series 6 and 7 licensed previously when I was a regional manager for Bank of America. I've been insurance licensed in every line and in four states. You know, I've just done a lot of financial stuff. I've got a really strong background in all that stuff. So I feel that I bring a balanced perception to the table. When you are out there trying to decide what to do with your money, and you are relying on man, you are going to hear all kinds of personal bias. Personal bias is something we all supposedly have. What I try to do is to follow biblical precepts and philosophies. That's my belief. I mean, I know there's people out there that, you know, think that everybody's got their shtick, everybody's selling their product, and it's all equal. But to me, it's not the case. To me, I think the Bible's very clear about gold and silver, and I think it's just very, very clear. God's made it very clear. Gold and silver are mentioned in the Bible over 800 times. They are, you know, they start out with telling you where there's gold. And then it tells us about Abram, God's first, you know, up his first example. He says, Abram was very rich in livestock, silver, and gold. Okay. And then we go on about, you know, the man when the camels in 24 Genesis had finished drinking, the man took a gold ring weighing a half a shekel and two bracelets for her wrists and, you know, basically paid her in gold. And then we go on and on through the Bible, and then we start to see gold and silver become more and more and more a sign of wealth. It becomes money. It shall absolute. It becomes everything. It becomes the material by which they make other gods, little idols. It becomes, you know, which is typical, right? Everything that God makes for good, the devil will take and try to make for evil. So remember, it's the love of money that is the root of all evil, not money itself. And I think that if you want to buy or invest in something that is rock solid, that is super liquid, like lightning rod liquid, immediately liquid, as fast as you want your money, super private, super anonymous, super transportable, you do the precious metals based assets. That's just the way it is. As I've talked here recently, I think it's probably, today would probably be a good show to discuss metals. I think it's fair to say that I've spent enough time over the years avoiding, I wouldn't say avoiding it, but not maybe doing my responsibility enough. And so maybe today I think I'll talk about metals and a little bit about money. Like I've said before, I have this massive stack of papers next to where I do the radio show. That's just all these things that I've planned on talking about over the years that, guess what? Never happens. It ends up not ever. It's just crazy. And I've got all kinds of this stuff on gold and silver and precious metals. And I've got, you know, there's the history of precious metals here. You got to realize that precious metals, gold and silver, have been considered wealth and monetary assets since the beginning of written human history. Every single civilization that's engaged in commerce has used gold and silver as their primary pinnacle forms of wealth and monetary trade. The pattern has continued without exception for over 4,000 years. Every nation that has chosen to debase precious metals as currency has ended up in a complete and total financial collapse or ruin. Now think about that. Every single country that has ever chosen to debase precious metals and go to an alternative form has ended up in total economic collapse. What makes us any better or any different? Are we better? Are we different? Are we smarter? Folks, you watch. I don't know if you're aware of what's going on with Facebook right now, but I hope you are, because people don't understand that they're being accused of, you know, they data mining. Let me look this up here. So what Facebook does is they have this huge data mining process, and they're being accused of going above and beyond your wildest dreams. So basically, they, for example, when they put their, well, when you go on Facebook, you give them tons of information, right? Private information, okay? And then you have the choice, right, of you know, making it private or not private or whatever. I'm not a whole lot into Facebook, but I can tell you that I, you know, that I signed up, I'm on it. I rarely, if ever, ever use it at all. It's not my thing, but I know people live and die by it. And I don't know. I don't know that I'm the biggest fan of it. It apparently becomes really addictive. It kind of feeds the envy we were talking about, and, you know, and, but it's a way to keep track of other people's lives. And, you know, a lot of us do well like that. A lot of us find satisfaction in that. Others of us are too busy to worry about it. So what Facebook's been doing, in addition to all this data they have on you, they track everything you do on their site. So they track everywhere you go. They track everything you say. They track everything you do. People don't realize this. They track it all. Here's what gets worse. They track you when you leave Facebook. They put little cookies in, and they track what you buy, and they track what you look for. And, folks, this is where we're at now. So what happens is, if somebody says, I want to advertise to kids between the ages of 23 and 27. I'm not kidding you. Even, you know, what that are between the heights of 5'10 and 6'2 and weigh, you know, between 135 and 165 pounds and live in the Midwest and snow ski. Facebook can give you that. Now, on one hand, for advertising, it sounds pretty cool. On the other hand, you start what's going on is you get companies like Facebook that are accumulating all this information. And now what's happening is, what happens, folks, when a hacker gets into this stuff? Do you know that there are hackers working overtime to get into this stuff? There are even, you know, what about a rogue employee? People say, well, we've got all these firewalls and all these security measures and, you know, for people. We got all these VPNs and all this stuff that people can't get through firewalls. Okay, great. What happens when someone on the inside decides to go dirty? And they get your social security number, all your credit card numbers because you've used them online. This is why, I don't know how many of you have run into this, but we personally... We, like, my wife and I, like, it seems like about every 4 months we have to replace our credit card because something weird happens on it. It's never been anything too big. But what they'll do is they'll test it out. They'll get a credit card number, and then they'll test it out for, you know, they'll put a few cents on it once and then a little bit more, and they let it build up. And it's a legitimate card number. They verify that, and then they stack it up. You know, and hopefully, your credit card, here's the problem. The credit card company, if they prove it's fraud, they'll take your side. They'll tell the vendor, no, that was fraud. We cannot honor that transaction. The problem is the vendor eats the product. If somebody walked away with the product, the vendor eats it. When we were in, my wife and I were, I don't know, somewhere overseas traveling. And while we were gone, somebody tried to put like $10,000 on one of our credit cards at some weird flooring company. Trust me, we don't know what that's all about. But, you know, it was fraud. It was absolutely crazy. So they tried to order $10,000 worth of flooring. Well, it didn't work out, which is a real good thing. But something went wrong. I mean, and we don't know where they're getting this information. We have no clue where in the world they would get our information like this. It bothers me. I mean, frankly, where is it coming from? I personally think that they're getting it from companies that you do business with. I think it goes all the way from a waitress at a restaurant taken a picture of your credit card to major companies like Target or Shopko being majorly hacked. But the problem is when this stuff happens, these companies, they're not going to admit it until later. You know, Uber basically admitted, got caught, whatever, later on admitted that, you know, they were power hacked. They got gutted of information. They didn't volunteer it until somebody on the inside spilled it or whatever happened. The bottom line is your data is constantly in jeopardy. Okay, so what happens as this rises to higher and higher levels? And if you think about what I'm saying, it's true. It's inevitable, right? The hackers are always going to be hacking. Your data is everywhere. You don't know. If you got totally gutted today, if your bank account got gutted for identity theft, someone got identity theft, went out and got a fake credit card made up in your name, and gutted your bank account, you wouldn't know where they got the information. You wouldn't even know where to begin. You wouldn't know if it was a sloppy restaurant that just left a receipt out with your name on it and some dumpster diver dug it out of the garbage. You wouldn't know if it was a waitress who intentionally did it and sold it, which, by the way, I guess people can get money for credit cards that are good, that are legitimate, that'll go through, believe it or not. You wouldn't know where to even begin. And what's my point in all this? My point in all this is, where is this heading? I mean, let's be honest. We've got this mark of the beast threat, or prophecy, or whatever you want to call it in the Bible. It tells us crystal clear. There is this day coming where the mark of the beast is coming. It tells us that we are not going to be able to buy or sell without the mark of the beast. And, you know, so many people, I've heard every argument from that's not really what it means. You know, now we're getting all of these theologians who basically, you know, they try to minimize everything scripturally. They're trying to nullify the Bible itself. They're saying, oh, you know, these guys are smarter than us. This is the new game. Is that somebody's smarter than you. And when you go the left versus the right, the true versus the, you know, the wrong, or whatever the heck you want to call it, what we run into now is people that are spewing supposed highly educated rubbish. Well, the problem with that is that they're not going to the original source of information. They're not going to the original source of information at all. They're getting it from somebody else who got it from somebody else who got it from somebody else. And so when they say, no, this is what it means, or this is what that person's intention was, they're wrong. The Bible tells us, interestingly enough, in Revelation 13, that it says, in Revelation 13, it talks about, then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. He exercises all authority. In fact, let's look up that word. What in the world? I wonder what it means. He spoke like a dragon. Greek, the word is drakon, interestingly enough. It means he spoke like a serpent or like Satan. He spoke, you know, I think pretty much what I would say is if they speak like a serpent or like Satan, I think it's pretty easy to figure out that they're probably pretty savvy, pretty Obama-ish. smooth as glass. Obviously, it's not Trump because he is about as smooth as a broken piece of glass. You don't have to worry about Trump being the Antichrist. He just doesn't have the finesse, right? So it says, then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. He exercises all the authority over the first beast in his presence, and he makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose fatal wound was healed, whatever that means. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of man. It says he makes fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of man. You know, there's a few different ways that can happen. It could just be fire. It could be a meteorite. It could be lightning. We don't know, but we know that something's up with this guy, spiritually. Right? And he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which it was given him to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who, quote, had the wound of the sword and has come to life. So somebody had the wound of the sword and came to life. That's coming later. And he tells them to make an image to the beast. Like, is it an idol? Is it a little statuette? You know, what is this that we're doing? And it was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast would even speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. I'll repeat that again. And it was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast would even speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And he causes all, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, and the free men and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And he provides that no one will be able to buy or sell except the one who has the mark, the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of a man, and the number is 666. And we don't know what that means. But we back up and we say he provides that no one will be able to buy or sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. So there is something coming. Folks, we've got, I don't know what it is. We don't know what it is. We don't know when it is. But what we do know is, with all this identity theft I'm talking about, you know, all this security stuff, I mean, all the shootings, right? All, you know, we're going to, I mean, you start putting all this together and they're like, well, we've got to decide who can and who can't have a gun. What if someone's deemed mentally ill? You know, can they have a gun? We've got to have all these background checks. We've got to track people's taxes. We've got all kinds of social media. I know for a fact online, you know, people post fake reviews. People create false personalities on Google. And then they'll go out and they'll post negative reviews that aren't true about somebody, and Google doesn't hold them accountable. They let those kinds of reviews linger, which they should not. And so on that, along those lines, quick sidestep here. I've mentioned in the past, if you, you know, name and reputation is an important thing to us especially. And over the years, I would, you know, worked hard to build a good name and reputation. And one offer we'd like to make is, if you're a customer or an avid listener or, you know, whatever, if you'd be so kind as to go on to, like, Google, and you can call the shop and get more details, and you leave a 5-star review for us, basically, you know, just saying you've had a positive experience or whatever, we'll provide a Morgan Silver Dollar. If you leave 3 reviews on Google, Yahoo, and I think it's Yelp, we'll get you 2 ounces of silver or 2 Morgan Silver Dollars. That's just something we've been doing for a little while. It helps out a little bit, helps our reputation. We've done over 300,000 independent transactions, but people just don't tend to go write reviews. So it's a way to motivate you to do it. If you want and all you got to do is go put the review on Google, and then call us, and we'll verify it's there. And, you know, mention something specific, just, you know, a specific experience you've had, or, you know, how well you were treated selling stuff, or how nice the place was, or, you know, just something supportive and positive, with a 5-star. And then you call us and we'll verify it. We'll look at it and verify it. And then we will get your information and we can mail you the coin, or coins, plural, no problem. You just after we verify that it's been done. And we appreciate it. It's an agreement between us that you'll put it up there, and then, you know, after that, you'll leave it there. Obviously, you won't put it up and get a reward and then pull it down. You'll leave the positive review there. But it might motivate you to get out there and help us out a little bit. We need it, folks. I mean, it's the whole world has gone to the internet, and it's different. I'm an older guy. I'm not older, but I'm 52. And I've lived through this whole transition, and it's not real comfortable for me. I don't like it. It's a lot harder than you think, being on the internet. It just isn't my thing. I like the freedom of movement. I like dealing with people face to face, you know, but it is what it is, and we're becoming very national now. And so I am just asking you once again, if you would like a free Morgan Silver Dollar from the, you know, 1800s, in decent shape too, no junk or anything. Just go on, like, Google and leave us a 5-star review and just give some reasons why. And you can even mention you listen to the radio show and that you've done business with us or whatever and had a very positive experience, or say something specific about, you know, we had people who've shopped around and realized that we're always the best, or our prices are the best, or, you know, we sell, you know, we're the fairest or whatever. Anything you can do to help us out like that. And then you just give us a call. We'll verify it. We'll mail you the coin. If you're from out of town, that's fine. Once we'll just look online, we'll verify you, put it on there. And then we'll send you a coin, or if you do all 3, we'll send you 2 coins. If you have any questions on that, call the shop. We'll tell you, we'll repeat our offer to you. It just realize it matters to us, and we're Christian owned and operated. We've had people attack us for our Christianity, not ever saying that we don't live by it, but just, you know, just because there's people out there. I get companies that, for the Freedom of Thought Society, that come in and harass me because I'm a believer, and because of the radio show, and bring me all kinds of rubbish, propaganda paperwork and dirty stuff. And, you know, I've had guys that, you know, I mean, there's definitely a spiritual battle out there. So just, you know, it's as easy as just helping us out. If you want guidance, call the shop, talk to, like, Mike, or Mark or whatever, and they'll get you guidance to get online to get it done. It's not that hard. They'll help you out. If you need to get a Google account to help you do that. But, you know, I guess just I'd ask the favor. I'd appreciate the help. and the support. And it's the one thing that's really unfair about it is everybody's anonymous, sort of. You get these crazy screen names, and you'll get, like, competition that'll do and say things that's not fair or right, you know, and all that. So it, there's what, folks, what's in a name is so important. I think you know that. It's so darn important, right? I think it's, is it Proverbs 22:10 or something that says something about that? I mean, it is so important. Maybe that's not where it is, but it's the power of a name is everything. And our name and our reputation, trust me, folks, it matters a ton. And we will stand behind ourselves. We'll stand behind our business. I mean, we, you know, for example, this weekend, we sell online, and a guy bought a silver, an antique vintage silver spoon. And, someone had sent one of my employees who's been having a lot of stuff going on in his family, sent him the wrong spoon, by accident. And, the customer contacted us and said, "Hey, you sent me the wrong spoon." Well, the spoon we sent him was worth $15, and the one they bought, I think, was 22. I think roughly. So we said, "Our bad, we're sorry." And we said, "Just keep the spoon we sent you by accident, and we'll send you the right one on Monday." Well, the person, I think, was so surprised that we responded like that, because apparently most businesses don't make it, they make them ship it back and everything. And we said, "No, just keep it. I mean, we blew it. Here's your gift for our mistake." And then the guy emails back and he says, "Well, I appreciate the way you handled this so well that I'm actually paying you for the other spoon as well." Which we did not expect, and we were like, "No, don't." And he's like, "Yes, I want to, because of the way you've handled this." And I've told my guys over the years, do the right thing no matter the cost. And folks, when we sell you stuff, it, there's so many investment vehicles, if you want to call them, out there. There's so many places to put your money. Now, you got to realize the banks control the world. Okay, so the banks are going to try to get you to go to the stockbrokers because they own them. They want you in paper where they can control everything. But God controls the cattle on a thousand hills, right? God created gold and silver. God created hard assets that you can hold and privately carry and anonymously have them yourself. And it is contradictory towards the paper game. But you have to remember that just because the world says it doesn't make it right. Everybody is jumping in left and right on precious or on into the paper markets right now. Craziness. Does that make it right? I mean, what we're discussing on the show today, how hard is it? How many different ways can you lose all your money in a flash of a second? I mean, how about a power grid shutdown? Done, gone. How about the folding of a bank? Done, gone. You know, how about identity theft? Done, gone. I had an employee years back who kept falling for these phishing emails, they call them, P-H-I. Okay, so it's phishing, not like fishing for fish. It's not F-I-S-H. It's P-H-I-S-H, phishing. Why they call it that, I don't know. And what it means is they're trying to get you to give them information. And so they falsify their emails and try to look like someone else. I had this employee who kept falling for this, and he kept logging in as if it was our PayPal account. And at one time, we had over $40,000 there. I was in Fiji on my way back from a church plant in Australia with a pastor and his wife. And I just randomly hopped on the internet to check some things, and I could not. There was some weird email. or a bunch of emails that I was like, wow, these are not looking good. So I figured out quickly that someone had hacked into our PayPal account. And as I, at that very moment, what they were transferring all of our money out of our PayPal account into some account like in Amsterdam or something. I don't even remember where it was. I was like, you got to be kidding me. And the $40-some thousand transfer had already been made, and it was just a matter of time. And I'm like, oh no, it's a weekend. So I'm trying to call PayPal, which back then you could actually call. Now you can't, which is even more terrifying. And I was trying to tell them that we had been hacked and that we were subject of fraud. We're victims of fraud. And she's like, well, where are you at? You know, and I said, well, I'm in Fiji. And she's like, well, your password's been changed recently from the Netherlands. And now you're saying you're calling from Fiji. And she's like, I just don't feel comfortable that I'm talking to the right person. I said, well, I am the right person. And we went round and round, and she didn't believe me, and she hung up on me. I had to call back three times till finally I'm like, look, this is my account. Someone's transferring all the money out. And they're like, she's like, well, there's been all this suspicious activity and, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, if it's suspicious, then freeze the account. Well, luckily, I finally got her to freeze the account to stop this transaction from going through. Thank God. And then it was a short time, very short time after that, that the employee who kept doing this was no longer with us, because this was one of many, many things they had done over the time. And plus, they were highly emotional and didn't like to be guided. Some employees want to be kind of superheroes, self-sufficient superheroes and whatever. And so, you know, that was then, and that's been many years. But I'm just telling you, folks, I mean, even when I'm talking about annuities, and, you know, there's so many ways you can get scammed. So the bottom line is, the only assets that are truly attributed as true wealth in the Bible is gold and silver, livestock, real estate, and human life. Okay? That's it. You know, Proverbs 22, I talked about a minute ago. I just found the verse. A good name is to be more desired than great wealth. Favor is better than silver and gold. Please help us at Coins Plus to have a good name and help us to have favor. We really, really appreciate it. I talked about the fact that a day is coming where we've got, it says, where he causes the Antichrist, if you will. He causes all, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, and the free men and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or their forehead, and he provides that no one be able to buy or to sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. And he goes on and explains what that is. It's on his right hand or his forehead. Now, we've got, you know, so far we know we've got fingerprints, we've got DNA, the forehead, we've got retinal scans. I don't know what John saw. We don't know if John actually saw the implant go in, or if he saw people having their hands scanned or their eyes, their retinal scans, but it says that he causes all to be given a mark on their right hand or their forehead. So I have to believe the Bible's literal, that a mark is coming. And so what the point of that is of course it's coming. I mean, we've got all these HIPAA laws about privacy with your medical insurance and, you know, all this credit fraud stuff. And you get Equifax, the largest credit providing company in the world, gets hacked. And I have a friend who said they stole from the information stolen from Equifax. They actually tried to sign up for Social Security. But because he's already receiving it, thank goodness, they were shot down and he was notified. Otherwise, they would have been able to get a check or two before it got caught. this is the world we're living in right now, folks. This is where we're at. This is what one of the many, many reasons why God made precious metals what they are. It's been our founding fathers knew what it was. You know, the golden rule, he who has the gold makes the rules, has been the rule forever and ever. Having a reserve currency is nothing new. They've always done it. They've always wanted, someone's always had this great idea of taking all your gold and silver and giving you a piece of paper in return, you know, which is craziness, in my opinion. But there's only one true form of wealth or one group, and that's that which is biblically attributed. Notice in the mark of the beast, you know, it says that you can't buy or sell without the mark of the beast. It doesn't. And the real words for that, when you go in the Greek, it's to buy is to it's agorazo, which means to be in the marketplace or attend it, to do business there. Okay, so that's one when he says to buy or to sell. Okay, so the one word is agorazo, which means to be in the marketplace. The other one is poleo in Greek, which means to, you know, to buy or sell. So what it's saying is, it's telling you that you, it just means you can't participate in that specific marketplace, which is essentially probably the internet. So what ultimately is going to happen is those that choose not to receive the mark are going to be banned from the whatever the internet becomes by that point in time. So it'll start out where it'll be like, fine, if you want to participate, all the vendors will say, if you've got this mark, you're in with us. If you don't, you're not. We've got all this liberal socialistic stuff coming on. That's at first how it's going to start, and eventually there will become more political pressure. There will be more left-wingers that will say, oh, you crazy right-wing Bible thumpers, isn't it crazy that you would say something so silly, even though it was predicted thousands of years ago? You know, just like the Pharisees, when Jesus was healing the sick, and their natural response was to kill him. I mean, how stupid is that? This guy's performing miracles and saying he's the Messiah, and they're like, hey, this guy's making us look bad. We got to kill him. Well, it'll be the same way in the end times when the Christians are going, this was prophesied, guys. This is a bad thing. And they'll say, well, they're making us look bad. They're going to cost us money. We're going to kill him. We're going to get rid of him. And the Bible does go on and tell us that. I just want you to understand and realize that precious metals-based assets are the pinnacle form of wealth. They are true money, okay? We've got the Fed's policy of a weaker dollar on fire. You know, we've got precious metals have still been growing at 7, 8% a year for a few years, which isn't bad. It's a heck of a lot more solid and stable than the Dow bouncing all over the place, which is really, you know, it's up a fair amount in the last few years, last year and a half. But it keeps topping out. It keeps running into all kinds of headway. We're in the middle of all this information age nightmare stuff from Facebook. And, you know, all I'm telling you folks is when you buy hard assets, real precious metals, what God said is money, you completely disconnect yourself from all that, from all the risk, from all the headache, from all the worry, all of it. You are disconnected. You completely go off the grid. You are truly anonymous. It truly is transportable. It is immediately liquid. It's recognized everywhere in the world. A friend of ours just bought a car in a South American country where they're buying, they bought a little condo, And he has gold, lots of it, that he's bought from us. And he actually went to the car dealership in the South American country, and he bought a car for gold. He just gave them gold, and they took it. But that just shows you that what a universal language it is. It really is a universal language. So realize that what we're talking about is a permanent, timeless solution. It is true wealth building, brick by brick. It's that simple. It's just that simple, folks. I really haven't spent a lot of shows focusing on it. I'm telling you, if you've got money tied up in paper, get out. It is an inevitable amount of time. I mean, I talked on the last show, hyperinflation is out of control. The amount of debt each one of us owes is out of control. I mean, it can't last forever. I'm very disappointed in Trump's spending behaviors. I hoped for much better. He left $500 million for Planned Parenthood in there. So, you know, of course, Fox News won't step up and admit that. That's a scary concept. And so we've got so many different variables pulling on our finances right now that can cause us to lose everything overnight. And even a lot of the investment vehicles, the paper stuff. I mean, we've seen paper investments continuously disappear, drop in half. When precious metals going down in price, you always still have the precious metal. Always. You never lose it because someone lies. It may go up. It may go down. But you do not lose it. Do you understand? It is what it is. Coins and precious metals, as a customer told me on Saturday, are real estate without a title. They're more anonymous, they're more liquid, they're more transportable, they're more private. You need to have a significant portion of your wealth in them. You'll do very, very well over time. So thanks again for tuning in. Please give us a call. Remember the Google review thing. We really appreciate it. Thanks for your loyalty, and God bless. We'll be back Wednesday. Bye-bye.